Blog Talk Radio.
I am thankful for my faith, my health and strength, my children, grandchildren, and sons-in-law, my brother, sisters-in-law, brother-in-law, nieces, nephews, cousins, godchildren, my church, my friends around the world, my home, thank God, my business, my sponsors, my clients, my endless ideas, my naysayers, my ability to solve my problems and or get around them, my past, my future, and my possibilities. I am thankful and so happy that you're joining us on today's show. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to a very special edition of Focus on Empowerment. Thank you so much for listening. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. I've been off the air for 3 weeks. I missed my audience. I missed talking with you, but we're back, and I am so glad that today in America, it is Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving represents a day of reflection and thankfulness here in the United States when we think about our past and certainly think about those very early days when this country was being found. Now, I know there's a lot of controversy, and we certainly will in the weeks to come talk about other historical perspectives, certainly from the Native Americans' perspective. When I think about Thanksgiving and that very first Thanksgiving in the 1600s, it would not have been made possible had it not been for very resourceful Native Americans during the colonies in Plymouth, Massachusetts, and also in Jamestown, Virginia, when they did their very best to keep those early settlers alive. So we owe an awful lot to the Native people and their contributions to Thanksgiving. But when I look at it now, fast forward, in the United States, it is a day of reflection. Now, interestingly, Thanksgiving also takes place in other parts of the world, and I remember years ago going, I was working in Corner Brook, Newfoundland, a wonderful part of northeastern Canada, way up there above Nova Scotia and a little bit below the Arctic Circle, should I say. But I was up working, I flew up there and got there on the second Monday in October, thinking I could do a little bit of shopping before getting ready for the workshop I was going to do. Well, little did I realize that the second Monday in October in Canada is Thanksgiving. So they've already celebrated their Thanksgiving, and now we're doing it here in the United States. So go online and check out the various ways that people celebrate Thanksgiving around the world in their own form or fashion, and I'm sure you'll be delighted to do so. I have been busy 3 weeks ago. It's hard to believe. I think three Thursdays ago was my November 6th multicultural conference that was held at the University of Massachusetts. We'll probably talk about that next week. It was an absolutely wonderful event. We had close to 100 people there. It was globally represented with three countries in representation. Very excited about that. Tremendous speakers. You can go and read the biographical profiles of all of our speakers at msconnect.com and go to the blog section, msconnect.com. Go to the blog section, and you can read the highlights and the biographical backgrounds of all of the 15 or 16 speakers that we featured. It was just a wonderful, wonderful event. I had representation from the United Kingdom from the first time. Our morning speaker was Garth Dallas from Liverpool, England. He delivered a tremendous message on equity. And when we think about what's going on right now in Ferguson, Missouri, and the fact that Officer Darren Wilson will not be indicted on criminal charges, it really helps you to stop and think about the importance of equity and was there equity in that case. We will also talk about Ferguson next week as well. But anyway, he did a great job, followed by wonderful panel members, Lynette Sanders. We had distinguished panel members, including Denzel Mohammed and Maria Lattimore and Retish, who represents the Indian Employee Network at State Street Corporation, and Jesus Lopez. They were all part of the panel discussion that we had about diversity locally and within a respective organization, State Street Corporation. Then we had just really, really strong roundtable discussions, including B.J. Anderson, Dr. Barbara Anderson Reed, who is just a wonderful supporter and friend and the assistant at Lesley University. We also had Bo Stubblefield, who spoke. Tom Campbell was also a part of our speaking roster for roundtable discussions, and then the list just goes on and on. We closed out the conference with Ron Dorsey, who is the new chief of education for the city of Boston. He talked about enlightenment. So we started off our morning with equity, and we ended our afternoon talking about enlightenment and how important that is when you visualize where our educational systems are going to go, not just in Boston, but certainly around the world. It was delightful. Then I dashed off and went to Philadelphia for the fall convocation for the African Methodist Episcopal Church. We had our fall convocation, our mid-year meeting, and a series of meetings for the upcoming 2016 General Conference that I am very honored to be a part of. That was really high impact, high touch, several hundred people in attendance. The meetings went very well, and that's an exciting component that we're working on. Then last week, I had the privilege of working with BAMSI, which stands for Brockton Area Multi-Services Corporation. And they deal with a whole host of human service issues related to health care, primarily mental health care, brain injury patients and individuals who are dealing with HIV and just a whole host of issues. They had a whole diversity conference last week, and I was one of their diversity speakers. And we talked about the impact and the importance of empowered diversity and how that relates to leadership and the leadership roles that many of them face in their professional lives and both on and off the job. And here we are today, Thanksgiving Day, talking to you. So it's been a whirlwind November. I think I'll be on the air most Thursdays going through the end of the year. But it just happened that I had just had a string of engagements on Thursday and couldn't cancel any of them. They were certainly way too important to cancel, but I'm glad that you are back with us. So I want to spend the next 18 or 19 minutes left on the show just talking about the importance of gratitude and being thankful in the midst of all the chaos, the confusion, the problems that we have in our lives. This has been a turnaround year for me. It's been pretty challenging and difficult since 2008 when the economy really fell flat. I fell flat with it, along with many other businesses, and had to really dog paddle really fiercely just to stay afloat and to move forward. But I am so grateful that this year has really been a turnaround year for my business and for me. As you can see, I've been busy and have been speaking quite a bit. So I am very, very, very grateful for the opportunity to serve my clients, to never take any of my clients and my customers for granted, to welcome the opportunity to grow and to stretch as a communicator, as a diversity professional, as a leadership coach, as someone who works with people now literally across the globe on a variety of issues. I am grateful for the work, and to say that I have been in business for 27 years. Every year is a different year, and you never know where things are going to go and grow. But again, I'm just thankful that I was able to stand firm and move forward because of a lot of prayer, a lot of work, and a lot of consternation in terms of the commitment that I have to global diversity, multiculturalism, leadership, and empowerment issues. So that's where I start off when I think about the wonders of this year. I think about the wonderful miracles that have happened along the way that relate to the business and personal obligations that I have. So I have an awful lot to be thankful and grateful for. I'm thankful for my health and strength. I put that first in the setup that I did because I don't think anybody in this day and age should take your health for granted. I'm reasonably healthy. I have a lot of energy and stamina, and I can go for long periods of time, but I do not take that for granted. I'm thankful for a healthcare system here in the United States. I'm certainly very grateful for the Affordable Care Act and what that has meant in terms of healthcare and the importance of healthcare and how that is going to be sustained for not just me, but for millions of Americans. And so when I look at health and how important it is, and when you don't have it, you certainly miss it. And even if you have a cold or the flu hits you or you've got other issues that maybe hit you from time to time, just knowing that you will have an opportunity to see another day is absolutely wonderful and marvelous. So I am very, very grateful for health and for strength and for fortitude. I am deeply grateful for my children and my grandchildren, and I rattled off all the other family members that I have, because you work really hard in life, and you try to do all that you can in life, and hopefully you're doing it for the greater good of society and those who will benefit from it. And those individuals may be your family members. I am deeply grateful for my living daughters, for the memory of my wonderful son, for my beautiful granddaughters. I'm looking at one of my granddaughters' picture right now when she finished her preschool program and moved on to kindergarten. And now, hard to believe, she's in first grade. Will be turning 7 in the month of May of next year, and her sister will be turning 4 in the month of March of next year. It's just amazing to see how they've grown and how much they are just a deep part of my life. My daughters and their husbands, the men that they have married, and the wonderful devotion and commitment that they have to each other is just wonderful to see. And for my brother and my sister-in-law, I had the good fortune of interviewing my brother yesterday because of the Ferguson situation. He is an attorney in Detroit, Wilson Copeland. And again, you can go to my website and hear the interview at tellcarole.com, TellCarole.com. In the blog section, you'll be able to listen to a 7-minute clip where he gives his perspective on what happened and the decision that was made by the grand jury. I'm grateful for the fact that he and my sister-in-law, Debbie, have been married for over 40 years, that they have a beautiful daughter, that it's not a fake marriage, it's not a sham, it's a real marriage and a real friendship that has certainly deepened through the years. I'm really grateful that I have them as my brother and my sister-in-law and my niece. I'm grateful for my other nieces and my nephew, because of what they mean in my life and the relationship that continues going forward. I'm grateful for cousins. I'm really, really grateful for the relatives who I call a part of my family, either on my father's side or on my mother's side, whether it's a third cousin removed or whatever it happens to be. I am grateful and never confused about who I am and who my family members are. And I really owe my parents that. I'm grateful for the parents who have gone on and my grandparents who have gone on. But they taught me so much, not only about how to respect myself, how to respect others, how to really value education, and knowing that education was a central part in my life, as it is central part in the lives of my children and other family members. I'm just really, really grateful. And I can hear my mother now telling me two things. First, take the high ground. And she planted that seed in my life so that when difficulties come, and Lord knows I've seen them recently, that you always stand up and confront your issues, and you always be a better person, and always take, that's what the high ground is always, what it refers to, be a better person, and be the kind of person who can respond and face challenges and face difficult people and people who just get on your last nerve or whatever it happens to be, but you do it with a level of dignity and respect that you command of other people, but that you also should give to other people as well. And the second thing is just the heritage that she always taught me, along with my dad and grandparents, and the importance that I never have to apologize for my family, that I am who I am, and that I should always be proud of who I am and never offer an apology for who I am. And I've lived by that, and I'm so thankful that they planted those seeds in me and that I'm trying to share with my daughters and grandchildren and other family members as well. So I'm really, really grounded in family and very, very grateful for all that they mean to me and how they have girded me up and supported me and pushed me forward and certainly been there a lifeline financially and otherwise when I've needed it. And that extends to friends as well. I am grateful for the friends who stand by me to this day, who have kept me in business to this day, who have listened to me whine and complain and listened to my joys and listened to my struggles and my sorrows. I'm so grateful for all of my friends around the world, and I can really say I have really wonderful friends now in other parts of the world, way beyond the United States. Years ago, when I created a vision statement that was at the midst of just agonizing trials and tribulations, having lost my son. My mother was in very bad shape. And this was in January, about 18 years ago now, 17, 18 years ago, January, when this vision statement just sort of fell in place, and it was Carol Copeland Thomas will capture the essence of the human spirit by delivering messages of hope, interconnection, faith, courage, and purpose throughout the world. It was just like, okay, that's a big statement. I don't know how in the world I'm going to fulfill it. But every single year since that statement has been in place, I have watched me grow. And I've watched me grow to really take on that vision statement and all that it means. And it's a global approach. And so my whole way of thinking is a global perspective. The way I teach and train is a global perspective. And not just living in a vacuum, but now because of technology, sort of really understanding how there are many wonderful people all over the world that we should all be thankful for, and I'm grateful to know a few of them in selective countries. So I look at friendship both domestically and internationally. I look at friendships with my oldest friend, living friend, who is now a head executive for the University of Michigan. And I look at friends who have gone on to glory, and I look at very new friends, and just so grateful for those kind of friendships. I'm grateful for the difficulties that have come my way. And I put in the setup piece about naysayers and those who have been critical and those who haven't been very helpful and those maybe who didn't just see me eye to eye in terms of what their direction was and what my direction is. I look at all of the stumbling blocks, all the problems, all the challenges, and it provides me with strength and fortitude to work through my problems. I've learned in life that there's some things you can't skirt. There's some things you have to address head on. All of us are going to have problems. We're going to all have difficulties. If you live long enough, as my grandmother used to say, keep on living. If you live long enough, you're going to have problems and challenges too. But again, just because of who I am and the nature of what I do, I've learned to navigate problems, to deal with problems head on, to sleep on problems, to wake up and try to solve them the next day or in the coming season, to realize that sometimes there are some problems that are irreparable and you do have to walk away from them. There are sometimes where problems where the answer and the solution is right there in front of you if you stop long enough and let your spirit tell you what should happen, either through prayer or faith or whatever your particular positive way of reinforcing yourself happens to be. But realizing that in life it is not just always a bed of roses, it's not just always wonderful circumstances where everything all works together and everything is very carefully and wonderfully aligned. It's the missteps, it's the accidents, it's the oops, it's the setbacks, it's the deep pain and the deep consternation that you have, and God knows I know what deep pain is all about. It's showing the level of empathy that you need to show to other people because you have been through a similar experience or you have the capacity to understand what they are feeling at that particular time. And recognizing that sometimes people need sympathy, but sometimes they need empathy and understanding the difference between the two. And being able to be that kind of compassionate person in the midst of your troubles and your trials and whatever you're going through, all of those things have certainly strengthened me as I've resolved problems, as I've continued to resolve problems, and understood and now really understand that life offers both. It offers the good times and the tough times. And sometimes they come together, and sometimes they're separated by long gaps. And sometimes you say to yourself, how in the world am I ever going to feel better again or happy based on what I've been through? And realizing that that happiness can come in a new way and in a new normal. And all of that sort of leads up when I look at my health and strength and my family and my global friends and my business and my ideas. I always have ideas. I've told my kids and other people, if I stop having ideas, then there's something wrong with me because I always have ideas, and I'm so grateful for that level of creativity. When I think about all that, it is wrapped into my faith. I am a pretty religious and spiritual person in a way that's respectful of all religions and all belief systems, and that's the way it should be from my point of view, certainly if you call yourself a diversity professional, which I do call myself a diversity professional. But had it not been for my faith and looking at how I needed strength from a higher power, wow, I have no idea how I would have gotten through a lot of the circumstances that I've gotten through and to be able to enjoy life the way I currently plan on enjoying it. Now, it doesn't mean that things are not always rosy, as I've said earlier, and I'm always beating the clock and putting on way too much every day on my plate in terms of activities and things that I want to get accomplished, but I am just really grateful for the resilience that the higher power upstairs has given me in my life, and I call him God, and certainly Jesus is a part of that as well. So I look at myself as being religious and spiritual, but also living my faith. That's the one thing that I want to be, the kind of person that I want to be, and the thankful person that I want to be, someone who doesn't just talk it, but someone who walks the talk. I want to walk the talk. And the circumstances and at this point in my life, just all of the dynamics that have taken place, I'm just really eternally grateful to be here and talking to you and to be sharing the knowledge with many, many people with the subject matters that I cover, and to know that I'm strengthened and fortified by my spiritual belief and the way that I worship my God. I'm very grateful for that. It's going to be a wonderful afternoon for us. In just a few hours, we'll have friends who will gather. We've done a lot of cooking today. And my daughter and son-in-law, who live with me a short time until they move on to their own house, they've been downstairs cooking and cleaning and going to have some really, really good food. So I thank Michelle and I thank Junior for what they're doing right now and getting things ready for our meal later on. My daughter, Lorna, and my son-in-law, Jerome, and their beautiful daughters, Juliana and Gabrielle, Gabby for short, are on their way. They're probably driving right now from Connecticut to my home here outside of Boston. So they'll be here very soon. And then we're going to be joined by other friends who are going to be with us this afternoon. So it's going to be a full house. And we're getting there. Now, I wanted to have a nice, really good housekeeping, really clean house. That's not going to happen. It's going to be fairly clean, but it's not going to be exactly the way I wanted to have everything, all the ducks in a row. But I'm grateful to be here, and I'm grateful for the food that's going to be on the table. And I'm grateful for the lights that are on, and I'm grateful for the car that's in the driveway, even though it has 359,000 miles on it, but it has gas in it, and it goes. I am so grateful. I'm hoping that this long monologue today will give you some food for thought, that sometimes things don't go right. Sometimes you have disappointments. Sometimes you have challenges and setbacks. Sometimes you just wonder, why should I get up in the morning? Maybe you have some health challenges. Maybe there's a diagnosis that you're a little afraid to face, and a phone call that has to be made in the coming days to your healthcare professional, your doctor, your nurse, or maybe there are some real difficult decisions you have to make financially. Maybe there are some things that just shocked you beyond belief in the last few days or so that you're just still trying to process. Whatever your set of circumstances happen to be, I just hope that there is at least one thing, just one thing that you can be thankful for, that you can never forget that every single day is a new opportunity to do something good. And whether you are in confinement, in prison, whether you are dealing with a difficult military regime in your country, whether you're dealing with terrorists that are plaguing your particular landscape, I still hope there is one shred of an opportunity for you to say thank you and to get up in the morning and to keep moving forward. Thanks so much for listening. Happy Thanksgiving to my American friends and those who are around the world, and we'll see you next week. Take care.